I'd like to thank Kenneth for coming today. Appreciate that. Every time I speak, he's never came to any of my messages, and this first time I think he's heard me speak. So I wanted to thank him. Before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day and grateful for the opportunity to come together, Father, and hear your word, Father, and I pray that it would be edifying to the saints, Father, that your Son would be exalted in all that's said, and just help to give me peace in my heart, and just use the messenger, Father, to provide your message, Father. And just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So I noted if anybody's got their eyes closed, I know I've said before that I know that you're praying for me. And we've discussed that before, but I've also figured out that if you're yawning, that means that you're so intrigued by my message that your body's trying to produce more oxygen for your brain. So it's good to yawn, and it's good to close your eyes and go to sleep. But over the past months, I've been thinking about some different things, I guess connected with work, and it's just sort of been burdened to me to share this message. I hope that it's encouragement to you. Today in our society, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of stuff going on in Raleigh, and there's a lot of stuff going on in Rockingham County, Wentworth way. And it seems more and more that there's more of a need for something. And people are coming in to get food, to get help, to get anything they can get, you know, to. Some people are legitimate, and then some people are trying to pull the system. But there's something that, you know, people need, and I think that, you know, we need to be able to do that. A few Sundays ago, Bert shared Philippians 2:1, and I'm going to start there. Philippians 2:1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And here it says that, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And I was thinking about that and thinking about the people that I serve. You know, it's hard sometimes because you know some of the things and the sins and the different things, environments that you go into, that you see different situations and you're like, how am I supposed to esteem these folks better than myself, you know? And then you start to get this sort of chip on your shoulder that you're sort of better than other folks. And, you know, really, we shouldn't have that, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we should be willing to help other people out when we see a need. If you see a legitimate need, you know, even sometimes if it's an illegitimate need and they come to you and they have need and you give them and you say, well, I'm going to give it to them and let the Lord take care of it. I've heard brothers share that before because sometimes you're like, you give somebody some money or you give somebody something and you're like, where is it going next? you know, is it going down to the local ABC store, or is it going somewhere it ought not be going? But the Lord is, if you're giving it in the name of the Lord, then the Lord's going to take care of where that money's used. And I'm sure that if it's not used for the purpose intended, that there will be some, you know, something done about that. So, but I was thinking about how we could esteem others better than ourselves, and I was thinking about one thing is thinking about sacrifice, okay? And sometimes we have, we normally talk about sacrifice from the Old Testament and the tabernacle, and we talk about sacrifice that day at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us, you know, but I'm not talking about a sacrifice where we're going to go die on the cross or we're going to go get put on the altar. I'm talking about the sacrifice where you take something that you have and you see another brother or sister that needs it and you take and give it to them. The definition that normally it says the sacrifice, the offering of an animal, and I didn't get this one, an animal, plant, or human life, or of some material possession to a deity as in propitiation or homage. Okay? But then the one that I'm thinking about tonight is the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. So, you know, when you're giving somebody, you're looking to do good. You're looking, your desire is to help somebody. It's not to hurt somebody. When you take something from yourself, you take your shirt, your clothes, you give them to somebody that needs them. You're hoping that, you know, it's for a higher purpose. And, you know, and one thing that would be considered a higher purpose is for for you to bring others to Christ. Thank you, brother. And I just wanted to think about ways that we could show a sacrifice and we could lead them to Christ through the sacrifice. A few types of sacrifices that I was looking at, and I looked at one, was a sacrifice of time. And I know sometimes we are probably the most busiest people there is around, okay? You can't hardly catch anybody anywhere at one time. And I don't know how hard it is to catch somebody during the week. I'm always on the road. All our other brothers are always on the road or doing something. And the thing is we got it. Sometimes the Lord is going to call on us and he's going to say, you know, stop a minute. There's this guy that I need you to talk to, okay? Or there's this person, this lady that I need you to talk to. I want you to tell them about the gospel. I want you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so in Acts 8, 26, we're going to read the story about Philip, okay? Now, I'm sure Philip was a busy fella too. I'm sure the Lord had him doing a lot of things, but the Lord said, you know what? I got a mission for you. He says, I want you to arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had a charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So God had grabbed Philip from all the way over here and brought him all the way down from Jerusalem all the way to Gaza, so he could hear the eunuch reading Isaiah. Okay? And so he comes down there, and then, you know, of course, the eunuch didn't understand the passage, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shears, his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is a water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his own way. So we see here Philip going all this way and landing right there on the spot, right when the Ethiopian eunuch needed somebody to guide him in the word, to guide him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God told him what to do. Philip took the time out, went down there and did what God told him to do, and he led this man to the Lord. And he got baptized. Excuse me, y'all. And then, you know, also we've talked about before in past messages where we talked about people that were healed. And I wanted to talk about Mark 10. And y'all are familiar with it, so if you don't want to turn, that's fine. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casteth away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, the thing that struck me through this whole thing is what we would be doing. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. How many times have you, you know, seen somebody that was begging and you're just like, ignore them, push them away, don't really want to, you know. It's the same thing we would be doing. That's what we said. Hey, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't really have time for you. You know, he's got more important things to do. He don't have time to spend with you trying to heal you of your blindness. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and he said, call him to me. And he spoke to the man, and he took time out to heal him. Okay? Now, yes, some people would debate the power to heal. I believe in the power to heal. Some people say, you know, different things about that. But the thing is I could pray with them. I could provide them with a need that they have. If they need direction as to some place they need to go to get help, I could do that. There are certain things within my power that I can have without turning my head or telling them to be quiet and going about his way. Okay? And that's going to speak a whole lot more for the Lord Jesus Christ than us looking at them and going, you know, ignoring them, not treating them right. I know I heard, and I don't know when I heard it, I think it was a couple months ago or something, somebody was saying that there was this lady that she gets packets together. and she puts them together, and she'll get like a Burger King gift card or something, and she hands them to people out there, you know? And being able to do that and not, and taking the time to do all that and taking the time to stop and talk to them and witness to them. Okay. The next section that I'm going to talk about is sacrifice. Is the sacrifice of money and possessions, which sometimes I think we may have a difficult time with, but because we live in such a materialistic nation that, you know, we've got to have everything, you know, and that's our, I think the United States has sort of put our blinders on that that's the way we need to be. We got to have the latest Nikes and the this and the that and the other. And, you know, we got shoes, but somebody else may not have shoes, or, you know, and we need to be able and be willing to provide, to share with other people. Thank you for the break. All right. In Luke 18, and a certain ruler asked him, and this ruler came to Jesus and was asking him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lacketh one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easy for a camel to go through the needle's eye, and for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, of God. Well, don't get me wrong here. I don't think he's saying, you know, hey, all the rich people, you got to go sell all your stuff and go give it to everybody else. He's telling this particular man because he knew that this man, he had a love, and it wasn't a love for God. Even though he said he kept all the commandments, it was a love of that money he had and the wealth he had. So it became a God. You know, it wasn't necessarily that he was a rich man. It's what he did with the wealth and the possessions that he had that, you know, determined where he was. And when Jesus told him, hey, go sell it all, you know, he's like, man, I don't want to do that. I had to get rid of my new sports car. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't give up all my fun stuff. I don't give my toys up. But those things became his God. Okay? And Jesus was trying to say, look, you want to follow God? This is God. That's not your God. The God of Israel is the God. Okay? And he's trying to get him straight, but he wanted that money more than he wanted God. So he went away all sad and all. Ray, it's hot in here again today. Alright, after 2 days, in Mark 14, we're going to talk about the lady that came down. It says, and 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him in death. But they said, not on the feast day, let there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation and within themselves, and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Now, This is not trying to help somebody. Okay? This is a different thing. This is like giving your offering on Sunday morning. Okay? She was giving an offering to the Lord. She was preparing his body for burial. She had taken this expensive box of ointment, probably one of the most valuable things she got. And she's taking it over here and she's putting it on the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare him, to anoint him for his burial. And then here comes our thoughts, okay? You know, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Okay, now I know that I talked about earlier, you know, we're supposed to give to other people, but sometimes the sacrifice that we're giving is to the Lord. Okay? And so sometimes it might be that you're giving some money, but I can't question what you're doing with the money. Just like these guys couldn't. You know, they thought, well, hey, I know what's going on. Sometimes we don't understand what somebody might be giving money or time for, but the Lord has laid it on their hearts. Okay? Just like he laid it on this lady's heart, take that ointment and have his body anointed with that ointment. Okay? So we don't need to question each other sometimes, you know, unless it's something that's against what God's saying or preaching, you know, or his word saying. But we should be trying to build each other up. And you might say, well, you know, he could do a lot better with that money than just, you know, giving it to Joe Schmo for this, that, the other. Well, we shouldn't criticize what they do with that money. You know, if the Lord's laid it on their heart to buy the chapel a brand new projector TV that we can watch the March Madness on, then the Lord's laid it on their heart to do that. Okay? I can't go, well, you know, they could have spent that money on something more important, but hey, you know, the Lord laid it on his heart. So I'm not going to sit here and question it. Okay. But then again, we're probably going to use that March Madness viewer for other things too, like Kids Corner and stuff like that too. So, okay. So don't be getting thinking we're going to be up here watching. We're going to be watching Super Bowl all the time. Okay. All right. You know, you may be rich and you may be poor, but you know, some things are more richer than possessions and money. And y'all know this. This is elementary. I know y'all know this because you can look in your kids. You can look at your kid's face. You're like, you need some money here. Take my money. Take it off. You know, and you just give of yourself in time, in resources, and everything you have. Because you see them wonderful, joyful faces. But, you know, you're rich. You know, to be honest, I ain't got a whole lot of money in the bank. But, you know, me and Dallas got four wonderful kids, you know. And I wouldn't trade them for all the tea in China. I mean, that's how important they are to me and how much I love them. So, I mean, that's my treasure. You know, and I know that I could ask every father and mother in here, they can say that's the treasure. You know, it ain't what's down at Wachovia. It's what you see, you know, your family and the people that are important to you in your life. That's your treasure. Okay? I'm going to read it and y'all can figure it out. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith but have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto him, go in peace, be ye warm and filled, and ye give them not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? Okay, Dave comes over to my house. Dave says, Johnny, I ain't got nothing. Ain't got no food. Ain't got no clothes. Well, Dave, I'm sorry for you, brother. Take care. I wish you well. I hope the best for you. No, that ain't what I'm supposed to do. But go down to my cupboard at my house and find what I got and say, here, Dave, I'm supposed to get my clothes. I don't know if they fit you right, but I'm supposed to go get my clothes and give them to Dave. Okay? I ain't supposed to be sitting here, well, should I get them clothes? Yeah, but we had it on the schedule to eat hot dogs Tuesday. If we give them our hot dogs, we ain't gonna have hot dogs. You know. No, you ain't supposed to be sitting here thinking about that. You're supposed to give without any reservation. Okay? That's just like when you come in to worship on Sunday and you give that money and you say, you know, I really could use a new pair of shoes this week. No, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to like, there you go. Okay? This is the Lord's money that you're giving up. Okay? Alright. I was amazed the other day. I don't know if y'all have seen the show. How many people have seen the show, The Secret Millionaire? Has anybody seen that yet? Thank you, Ellen. I appreciate it. One person. It's a show where these millionaires, they go live in the roughest sides of town. There was one guy, he went to Skid Row, okay? And he lived among them, and they look for charities, and they try to find out what that charity's about, see what's legitimate about them, and then, you know, at the end of the show, when he feels led, he'll give X amount of dollars. But the thing that really impressed me was the other night when they were at Skid Row, they talked about this guy, and he didn't have a whole bunch of money, okay? He owned a design shop, and he put designer clothes together and stuff like that. But he said that he was just, the guy that was the millionaire was just walking along the sidewalk, and he saw all these clothes hanging on the fence. And he was like, what's going on here? And then the guy had all this clothes everywhere and everything, and there was a man at the car, and he started talking to him. Well, it wasn't a formal, you know, it wasn't a formal organization. It was just some guy that was trying to help people on Skid Row. Give them clothes. Well, I mean, it like, you know, I mean, I try not to cry and stuff like that about shows like that. I know us men don't do that. But there was this guy that had a walker. He was on a walker walking in Skid Row. And he had feces on his shoes. And the man, I'm sitting here, they couldn't find their shoes. He took his shoes off his feet and gave it to the guy on the spot. He ain't no millionaire. He don't have much money. I think at one time in his life, he had been there and he knew how rough it was. And so he was helping them out. So, I mean, it just really spoke to my heart when I saw that. But if y'all get a chance, I know on Hulu they have, you know, the back couple shows if y'all interested in checking it out. I know one girl on there, she's a real Christian woman, and she was giving her testimony and telling, you know, how she was doing this show and how the Lord had blessed her because she was homeless at one time and that the Lord had built her up to where she was now a millionaire. So, I mean, it was just amazing to hear these stories. I was also thinking about this when I was thinking about giving is Matt Redman's song. I know y'all have heard Blessed Be Your Name. And it says, Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all that it should be, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. And I was thinking about the offering, that there's pain in the offering. You know, has there ever been a pain in the offering for y'all? Has anybody ever got, you know, like you got down to, you know, you had, I don't know, $99 in the bank, but you put $150 in the offering, you know. And you got to figure out where that money's going to come from. I mean, just thinking things like that, you know. Because there's a lot of people that do, you know, they don't, I mean, it ain't about offering to the Lord. It's about, you know, Am I going to pay for my medicines, or am I going to eat lunch today? I mean, that's a true scenario. That actually happened in the great United States of America. Okay. That's so great. But I never understood what it meant, you know, to give till it hurts. And there are times where the Lord may convict you in giving something away, and it's your last dime. You remember the widow mite? She gave it all, every last cent. I'd like to know what was in her cupboard at the house. You know, I'd like to see what style of clothes she was wearing. That'd have been interesting. And yet she gave everything she had, the last bit. Now, this next part is a sacrifice of position. And what I mean is sometimes a sacrifice requires us to not have a respect for person. You know, and that goes sort of what we were talking about earlier about somebody that's begging. I'm not supposed to be, you know, the president of some company. I'm not supposed to have a, you know, you need help, I'm going to help you. You know, I shouldn't go, I'm the president of a company. I'm not helping you. That shouldn't be my mindset. My mindset should be, this is a human being and he needs help. I need to help him. You understand? So, sometimes that's just the way it should be. And the same thing goes the other way. You know, somebody that's poor sees somebody that's rich that's hurting. Listen, man, he's rich. I ain't helping him. You know, because it's a backward thing. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be, you know, you can, I don't know how to say this. You can be a snobby poor person, okay? Just as much as you can be a snobby rich person, okay? So you need to be looking at people as human beings and not by how they dress and all this other stuff. And I think that that's got a lot to do with like the school system today. You know, you go over to Rockingham County, I bet you can see the classes right there. I mean, and I'm talking about the socioeconomic classes. Okay? And then they're forgetting, you know, we need to treat each other like people. All right, let's look at Luke 10. And of course, y'all know this. That's the wonderful thing about the Word is, you know, you hear it over and over again. That way it never gets born. You keep hearing it. It says, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which striped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by and on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Excuse me. And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. And then saith unto Jesus, go and do thou likewise. Okay? The priest, he was caught up in this respect of person. Okay? And the Levite, he was caught up in the respect of person. I see this guy on the road, wayside. I'm not gonna help him. I'm a priest. I don't deal with folks like that. That ain't my thing. And I might mess my clothes up. But no. That ain't the way we should be. We should be like the Samaritan and help them. Help them to where they can be stabilize, and then let them on their way. All right, now going back to Philippians that we were reading earlier. When you think about, I'm skipping ahead. What happened? We should, I'm sorry, y'all. Remember on 9/11 when the two planes come crashing into the World Trade Center? Okay? I'm not a betting man, but if I was going to bet money, I would have that day. I bet there wasn't no respect for persons that day. I bet everybody was looking out. There was either two people. They were either looking out for themselves, or there was somebody in there looking to help other people get out of that building. Okay? And that's the type of people we can be. We can be the people that look out for themselves, or we could be the people that try to help people get safe, get to safety. Okay? You know, there's a lot of people down there that there were people running to the building to save people's lives. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. But nobody, I'm sure that didn't, well, I'm the president of Merrill Lynch, so I get the first ticket out. No, I'm sure them guys was like, let's get out of here. You know, I don't care who you are. Let's get out of here. You know, and they were pushing and helping, and I know there were handicapped people. They were helping them. You know, this survival of the fittest thing, you know, for some reason it didn't work that day. Because there were some people trying to get handicapped people out the building. Okay? If the survival of the fittest thing was working, then they'd have said, hey, see ya, we gone. You understand? The Darwin went all that in a bag of chips when he was talking about survival of the fittest there. When we go back to Philippians chapter 2, I was wanting to talk about verse 6. It was talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if anybody's got the right to say, hey, you know, I'm the man. You know, how many men have had somebody say, you the man? Ain't nobody ever come and said, man, Rick, you the man. Nobody's ever said that. He's kidding. You know, the other day somebody said to me, I said, no, I'm not the man, but I know the man. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anybody that had the right to be called the man, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to go through this 100 billion times because I know y'all have heard it 100 billion times. The Son of God humbled himself, come from heaven in the form of a man, and died on the cross for us. Okay? Does that not sound crazy? The Son of God dying for a bunch of sinners? Does that not sound... But that's the way it is. That's the way God's plan is. God doesn't always do things the way we think it's supposed to be done. He saw we need a Savior, and He provided it through His Son. Now, I just want to mention something today. Also, let me see here. Okay, yeah, we can do that here. John 13. Now, this is the wonderful part. This is, you know, we saw Him being born, being fashioned as a man. But, you know, His character was humble as well. You know, He wasn't just born as a man and then He all high and mighty. He was born as a man and humbled Himself as a servant. And in John 13, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and He went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. The Son of God washing the old nasty feet. Could you imagine the Son of God saying, hey, you know, come over here and put your feet in this pail and let me wash your feet. I mean, he's holy. He's perfect. He's blameless. We're sinners. And he's washing my feet. I should be washing his feet. I should be washing his feet. Them guys should have been down there washing his feet. Like that lady did earlier. With the ointment put on his body. And he was over there cleaning their feet. So he knew how to put aside any build up of himself. He was humble. He was humble as a servant. Okay? And I'm gonna tell y'all about servant. Bert ain't here tonight. But you know, it is sad. You know, it's sad that people think that, you know, Bert's a state representative. Okay? But he just had a change in position. Okay? And some people say, oh, he's a state representative. He's all important and high and mighty. No, he went down in position. Okay? Because now he's serving all of us. You know, he's sacrificing things for us, for the people of Rockingham County. You know, and I've always thought, looked at the state representatives and stuff, and yeah, there are some that it goes, okay? And the head's like this. You know, but Bert, I mean, I don't know, Susan probably tell us, he's sacrificing time with his family, he's sacrificing time with his wife, I mean, his kids, being able to do things with them, so he can go down there and hit some button and vote for us to be our leadership. And I mean, I've never really thought, I've always thought of it, and I guess it's just because we know Bert. And I just know, I mean, it's just something about Bert, you just don't see that in him. And I mean, it's just a blessing to see that. And I'm not trying to, you know, but it's a sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice to serve people, you know. Next, the final thing is sometimes, every once in a while, even though we don't like to, we got to make a sacrifice like God, like Jesus did. Now, it's not a sacrifice to pay for our sin. Our sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes you're going to have to make a sacrifice of giving your life up for somebody else. Right now, overseas, there's men and women that are dying. And no, they're not standing in front of a gun that's pointed at us, but they're representing us. And they're dying for us. Okay? If some burglar comes breaking your house and comes and holds a gun up to your wife, most men would say, hey, you know, here's a shot. And they tell the wife to go out the house or run away. You know, I used to tell these ladies up here at, they used to come, when I worked at Lowe's, we'd have to go up the hill to the Mayflower. We used to say, they said, Johnny, would you walk with me up there, you know, so I don't get robbed or anything? I was like, well, let me ask you this. If somebody comes to rob us, are you sure they only have one bullet? Because after the first one, you're on your own, okay? So, but anyway, but you'd be willing to give up your life for your sister, I mean, your wives and your children. And your wife would probably want to give her life up for you. I mean, depends on the situation. But depends on how good you are. If you're a good brother or not. I don't know. But anyway, it says in John 15, it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you. And that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brother. Okay, I'm going to scratch that out. Get too long. So there are going to be times that we might have to give up our life for other people. or for our family. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ did that for us. You know, He did that for us. And there might be a time where somebody might say, hey, Dave, tell everybody that you don't love Jesus anymore, or I'm going to shoot you. There might be a day that comes to the United States of America. Okay? And we might have to be prepared to make that sacrifice. To say, no, I'm sorry. He died for me, I can die for him. Okay? Alright. I'm going to skip this other part and then I'm going to go to this quote. And then I'll close out. I'm sorry I took so long. Hey, I'm in the took too long club. You know, I was reading through some different things and some different things, quotes and stuff, and I was reading this one from David Livingstone. And he was talking about sacrifice. And he says, people talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice? Which is simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice would bring its own reward in helpful activity? The consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny? It is emphatical, no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of this life. These may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory which shall later be revealed in us and through us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk. When we remember the great sacrifice which He made, who left His Father's throne on high to give Himself for us. His whole concept of sacrifice changed. He just knocked down my whole sermon. His concept of sacrifice was no longer a pain. It was no longer a suffering. It was a privilege. It was a privilege to sacrifice for somebody. It's almost like, hey, let's go look for somebody to sacrifice for. Let's go look for somebody that we can help. Somebody that we can give to. Somebody we can provide for. Somebody that we can witness to. Let's go and do it. I mean, it was a privilege. It was no longer a sacrifice. And my hope for y'all is that when y'all are sacrificing, that's what it becomes. It becomes a privilege. And not a burden. Thank you.